Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome. I'm here with Michael Milton. And Michael, it has been a while since we visited with you. And I just wondered if you'd catch us up a little bit as to where you are today and some of the new things that you've helped bring to life.
Well, you're very kind and generous to have me on again. It has been a couple of years. We were at National Religious Broadcasters, I think, the last time. Good to be with you and with your listening audience. Today I am at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, because I am a Reserve Army chaplain, and I am an instructor, and I'm teaching a mid-career course to chaplains who have come in from around the world, various places, combat, non-combat, and they've come in for this course. And so I'm teaching preaching and continue as Chancellor of Reformed Theological Seminary and teaching and preaching around the country there. We're preparing right now a Christmas album to come out. And one song has been released. Your listeners could hear that actually for free. I think if you go to rts.edu/Milton Music, and I think there's both an Easter song on there and a Christmas song that could be downloaded for free. And the Christmas song is a prelude to the album that will come out. So we've been quite busy with that. New book is out on a theology of suffering called Songs in the Night, How God Transforms Our Pain into Praise.
Now, and I have to ask a personal question.
Yes.
Here. Were you diagnosed as ADHD as a child?
They didn't diagnose such things in the poverty-stricken area of Louisiana where I came from. So I probably would have been diagnosed, but there were no such doctors who could diagnose where I came from.
So, I mean, the beautiful thing is, you know, you hold multiple degrees from all these respected institutions like Knox Theological Seminary, the University of Wales, West, and Mid-American Nazarene University. You are also serving as the Chancellor and CEO-elect for the Reformed Theological Seminary. You completed your internship under Dr. James Kennedy from Coral
That's
Ridge.
Right.
And you've also planted churches. You founded the Westminster Academy Christian School. You served as the administrator of the head of Knox Theological Seminary. Mm-hmm. You recorded 3 albums, including He Shall Restore, Follow Your Call, and then, of course, Through the Open Door, which we'll feature a little bit more later in the show. And a recent book was Hit by Friendly Fire, which that is very fascinating as well. But I think that the point I want to bring across is most likely if you were a child in today's society, you would be labeled ADHD.
Well, more than likely.
And yet,
probably didn't get an education.
Yeah, and yet God has been your gift, because you continue to serve Him in such a variety of occupations and ministries, and I'm just awed by the things that you've accomplished in your lifetime. Now let's talk about Hit by Friendly Fire. I do not know of one single person who is working for the Lord that hasn't sometimes been shocked by the attack from their sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wounded in the house of our friends, as the Bible says. Well, Hit by Friendly Fire came about because of counseling, missionaries, and other Christian servants, and recognizing that I've had this in my own life and others have had it, but also noticing that there was some paralysis in some parts of the body of Christ, people who have not been able to move beyond a wound, and it's as if the clock stopped. And so hit by atomic fire, what to do when other believers hurt you, is intended to be a biblical pastoral response to this epidemic of hurting each other within the church, and how to find healing in Christ for this very common malady.
Now,
so the book was released in the UK first, and actually was released pamphlet several years ago, because it first was a sermon. Then it was extended into a book by Eden Press in Great Britain, and then released in the United States. And it's available through Christian bookstores or Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of the online stores. Or you could go to RTS or go to michaelmilton.org/books, and you'll find that book there, and you can order it.
So this book isn't necessarily from your own personal experience, but from the experiences that you helped others go through with your counseling.
Well, it is, but I do incorporate my own personal experience to illustrate, because I've been hit by friendly fire. As you said, you don't know anyone who hasn't. We all have. And it all goes back to the fact that our Savior was hit by friendly fire. He was betrayed by his friends. His friends abandoned him. The pain that we know cannot be anywhere approximated to the pain of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Father himself turned his face away from his Son when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so the key is identifying our pain with Christ and coming to understand then that the very thing that seeks to destroy us, even the pain being hurt by a friend, becomes in the hands of the sovereign God the very thing that draws us closer to him. Because our wounds draw us closer to his wounds.
Now, do you cover the topic of when you are denominationally employed and another denominational worker attacks you?
Well, I do, in the sense that within the book, one of the first episodes that I'm confronted with that makes me feel like I have to deal with this in writing or in the pulpit, or is a missionary who is dealt a blow by another missionary on the field within the same denomination.
Mm.
So generally, you know, we're not hit by friendly fire from other. It's not like Baptist or being machine gunned by Presbyterians or Methodists. It's Baptists are getting hit by Baptists. Presbyterians are getting hit by Presbyterians. Pentecostalists by other Pentecostals. So it's generally within close proximity. That's the nature of friendly fire, is you're doing battle together. You're on a mission together. But something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. One miss, one misstep, one misstatement, and all of a sudden there's a painful word, or something that we didn't say that we should have said, something hurtful that flies through the air of our experience. So generally it's the people closest to us that hurt us.
And what would you recommend? Okay, I'll give you a hypothetical situation.
Okay.
I'm a school teacher. I'll use that as a good example. I'm a school teacher in a school, and my a fellow teacher is going around the community accusing me of something that I did not do. How
right.
would you recommend defending me?
Well, you've got a couple of choices. One of those is to try to recover what that person did, and there's no way you'll do that. Someone says something about another person, we need to remember this. When we speak out things about another person, it's like going out into the wind, opening up a feather pillow, and the feathers fly to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to go out and recover all of those feathers, because they're everywhere. They cannot be recovered. So to say that you're going to defend yourself against all of the accusations and go make it all right, well, it simply will leave you crippled. You cannot do it. The only thing to do is to take that to the Lord, mm-hmm. to give the person to the Lord. Now, you can confront the person and say, perhaps I made a mistake or I've done something that led you to believe this. But what I focus on is not that part of peacemaking, but peacemaking with God over the woundedness that you received.
Mm.
So it's going to the Lord in your Garden of Gethsemane moment where you release it and say, Lord, not my will, but thine. If you're truly sovereign, you're even sovereign over this, and you can take bad things and turn them to good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's releasing that to the Lord and releasing the person so that you're not hating or despising the person who did this, but recognizing they're a sinner saved by grace the way you are, and mm-hmm. they've made a mistake. And in this case, it involved you. It's very personal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cling to that, then you stay on the cross, as it were. The mm-hmm. idea is that you identify your suffering with Christ, even to the point of crucifixion, to say, Father, I'm
Amen.
Being crucified by this thing.
Amen.
But you don't want to remain on the cross. You want to come out of the tomb. You want to be resurrected and free. And the only way to do that is to bow before the sovereignty of God
mm-hmm.
and to release that person mm-hmm. into God's hands and say, Father, you know how to deal with this man or this woman. I will follow you, and I will forgive.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to ask you about those women in your life that have been a big influence. We'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you.
Sweet sound.
Go to a refugee camp in Congo. There she goes. The ground is so hard and rocky that I'm frightened for this little orphaned girl with her baby sister on her back. They're going to stumble and fall. She's afraid of my camera, and yet I want everyone to see this brave girl who is now the mother of her baby sister. She desperately needs the food that we have to give her. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I've chosen Restore a Child as the humanitarian organization I'm going to support.
To make a donation, go to www.restoreachild.org or call 877-745-7833. That's 877-745-7833.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Michael Milton, and we went a little bit through all of the things that you do and have done in your life, and you recently did this album called Through the Open Door, and I want to talk more about that album, but you dedicated it to your Aunt Iva and to your wife May, and I just wondered how these women had influenced you.
Well, I cannot calculate their influence. It's so great. I simply would not be the person I am without Aunt Eva and without May. I was orphaned when I was a child, 9 months of age. Mm. I was placed in Aunt Eva's arms. She was 65, recently widowed, had never had children of her own. And all of a sudden, she finds herself with a little boy. And she lives on a little five-acre hard scrabble farm in the backwoods on the Louisiana-Mississippi border. And so all of a sudden, she's raising a child. Mm. And at 10 years of age, my 75-year-old Aunt Eva was in the backyard with a football saying, go long, son. you know, go for a flag pattern. She sought to keep up with me and was my true companion. Prayed for me every day, and would lay her hands on my head, knowing of some deep pain that was in my life because of challenges I would face even while I was with her until I was finally adopted by her at age six. But from 9 months of age until age six, I went through things that led me to, at age four, ask her one time, when will the nightmare be over? Mm. And so without getting into it, four-year-olds shouldn't be asking such questions. Mm-hmm. So Aunt Eva laid her hands on my head, and she sought to bring healing. And when I began to ask the great existential questions of life as an adolescent, who am I, where am I going, why am I here, I should have turned to Aunt Eva. She had all of the answers, though she was a simple woman. She had those deep spiritual existential answers in Christ. But I went to the world to ask the questions and end up asking theologians like Neil Young and Bob Dylan and others who weren't theologians, but they had a theology. They had some good music, but they had a bad theology. It led me astray. And as I came back, Aunt Eva, who had witnessed my leaving, my departing as a young man, weeping on the front porch, told me, you'll be back, but when you come, you'll be broken. But out of your brokenness, you'll find your healing, and you'll find God, and you'll find your answers. Some years later, I lay my head on her lap and felt like I cried for about a year. And she told me, I told you so. She only said, seek the Lord, and you'll find your healing. She lived to be 99 years of age, and this woman who was born in 1897, and she saw me not only come back from a prodigal journey, but to receive the wife she had prayed for me, Nay. And she moved with us when we planted our church in Kansas City, and she went to seminary with us and went on a couple of church plant or went on planting the school in Kansas. And so that's Aunt Eva. And her legacy, Dan Fogelberg had a song, I'm the Living Legacy of the Leader of the Band, talking about his daddy, who was a musician. And I'm the Living Legacy of a country woman named Eva Turner. That's all I am.
Wow.
And then I married way over my head to a preacher's daughter named May, who has brought me life and joy. And for 28 years has been a companion with me in following the Lord together. And when we married, we brought together seven children, and 9 years later, the Lord gave us our son, John Michael, and he's a senior in high school, accepted at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. Just recently, about to make Eagle Scout, and I tell you, that he's made Eagle Scout, but he hasn't had his pin on ceremony. And of course, it'll be his mother who pins it on. And that is only proper because she's the one who has done so much in shaping and forming him. She's done a lot in shaping and forming yours truly as well.
Well, you know, we are partial to orphans. That's our charity of choice, is a charity that supports orphans. And we always say,
These
children have so much to give to the world, and unless we invest in them, we'll never know. Their gifts will be lost. And here
you
come on and you testify how God brought into your life those replacement relationships that you so needed.
Yes.
And the journey has been a fantastic one, and I know it gives courage to our listeners because many of them are experiencing the same thing. Now,
well, I can say without that pain, without the pain of my experience as an orphan, I wouldn't have known the glory and the strength and the power of Christ.
Amen. Now, I want to talk about Through the Open Door, and I know our time is running out here, but the inspiration, tell us about the inspiration, and again, remind our listeners how we can obtain it.
Sure. Well, the inspiration for Through the Open Door came from a dream. I don't claim that it was any sort of divine dream or anything of that nature. It was simply a dream, but it was a dream about Aunt Eva. And it was a dream in which I felt like I could hear her saying that one day I'll see you. I'll see you soon. And I woke up and I was thinking about what I felt was a door that I saw, a door between this world and the next. But I couldn't get through the door. It wasn't my time to go through the door. And I got up from bed and walked down the stairs. And as I walked down the stairs and come to a landing that we have in our home, there was Aunt Eva's picture. And the picture of Aunt Eva and her husband, who died just right as I was born, is an old antique picture from the 20s, I guess it is. And they're out in the field, and she's holding a paper looking down. Her mustache former husband is with her. They're out in the field. And I looked at that, and I said, well, that's going to be my next album, Through the Open Door. And I'll talk about the thing of eternity and talk about some of the things that happened in my own life, hoping and trusting that God would apply that to others' lives. And so it's really a biblical theological reflection on life and living and how God transforms our pain into praise. And it's a variety of genre that includes folk and bluegrass, but also classical. I always end the piece with a classical piece. And so the piece that I've composed for this is called Eclogue for the Church Triumphant, which is the final open door to a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
An eclogue is a musical term which speaks of one shepherd calling to another shepherd, and it's an English musical pastoral. And so the shepherd got lonely, and so they would cry out to each other from hilltop to hilltop, maybe in Wales or in England or Scotland. And so this eclogue for the Church Triumphant is one orphan boy crying out to other, maybe cosmic orphans and others on this journey, reminding them that there is an open door and a new heaven and a new earth that is on its way.
Amen.
The album Through the Open Door can be, you can find it at michaelmilson.org/music, or you could go to iTunes, or you could go to amazon.com, and you could find it there as well. It's music label is called Music Permissions, and a portion of the proceeds of the album goes to support pastoral families at Reformed Theological Seminary.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much for spending this time with us and for your inspirational story. And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Oh, the Lord bless you too, and your listeners.